Hi. Welcome to episode number 32 of the Smack Happy Videocast. I am Nicole.
I'm Danielle.
And in our videocast, we are answering our clients and friends' questions about marketing and online business.
Yeah, so today we're going to be answering a popular question that was asked by a couple of people. Cassidy and Darius, and they were wondering how to get more clients, or actually, I guess they said that's our biggest business challenge is figuring out how to get more clients. And I think we have a few things that we could share about that today.
So a lot of the things that I'm going to mention, business owners might already know about. And these are the things that work really well for us in particular. So that doesn't mean that it's going to work for every business, but you really have to, you know, try a variety of things and test and measure. You really want to keep track of where your clients are coming from so that you know what's working and you can invest more of your time and money into those things. So the list I'm going to give you are the things that work really well for Smack Happy. And if you don't know where your clients are coming from, you really should start asking. We have that as a part of our questionnaire and the intake form. And when people introduce us or when we first meet with them, if we haven't found out, then we'll ask. So you really need to measure that stuff. So here is our list. Testimonials. These are really big, and a lot of people don't even ask for testimonials. Our business coach, way back when we started working with her, Coach Crystal, this was one of the first things she had me start on. And we just made it part of our process. So when we're wrapping up with our clients, we will ask them why they decided to work with us, and then we ask them to turn that into a testimonial. And we put those testimonials on our website. We get them on Yelp, on Google, on LinkedIn. We've even had a few people write about us on Facebook. And, you know, over time, you know, we've gotten like a huge number of testimonials, and that really helps when someone's doing a search on Google or Yelp to promote you and really, you know, put you up at the top. And with the Google reviews, that also ties into your business listing, which is another thing that's really helpful. If you don't have you know, the listing so that you show up on the map, that's another thing that'll help with your business. And I don't know, Danielle, if you want to touch on that part for a minute.
Yeah. So, well, there's two things I thought about when you were talking about the testimonial side of it. There's something that a couple of clients, I think, recently have mentioned to me about their clients being their clients or customers, whatever, you know, you call, you know, your clients or customers, are really private people and like don't want to give up their information or anything like that. That's cool. Like, I get, you know, sometimes maybe it's like a competitor thing. You don't want somebody to know that you've not, I don't know, done the work yourself or something. I'm not really sure why. I mean, it could be a few different reasons, but I won't go too much into it now, but there are ways that you can try to handle that. And I was thinking about maybe adding that to the download of resources, or, you know, just the resources that'll be in you know, the web page after this goes up on our website. And then about the Google listing, that is so important. And I know a lot of people typically do that. I think that's something that is sort of like a first step. If you have an address, you should add it. If you don't have an address, you should still add it. That doesn't mean that, you know, if you have your business out of your house or something and you don't really serve customers at that location, that's fine. It won't, you know, you could give the listing, you know, a setting option to not show your address. So that's no big deal. And I think that that's actually prevented some of the people that I've helped set up their business listing, that's prevented them from actually putting a listing out there because they're like, well, I work from home and I don't really have, you know, a place that people can go to. But if it's a registered business address, you can add it to your listing. And there's other, like, you know, very high level things that I could, you know, kind of share now. And I'll also put more, you know, detailed stuff for tips about the listing on our webpage. But, you know, just make it as robust as possible. Like, the more you fill it out, the better. The other big thing is make sure it's consistent with your website. So that's like one of the things that Google looks for. If you have, for example, a different phone number on your website than your Google listing, then they'll be like, well, it's not really reliable, and could either say, you know, this isn't your business. Like, there's something going on right now where everybody's getting their business listings suspended because their company name is too short.
Oh, that's weird.
It's sort of strange. I think they were trying to do some good in some way, shape, or form. I can't remember exactly why they did that in the first place. But what ended up happening is a bunch of other people's listings are now suspended because of not following best practices. Some were a mistake, and it's taking like 4 weeks to get the listing back up. So, you know, just another kind of high level reason.
And
updated.
The way I look at it is that, you know, you mentioned making it robust. It kind of becomes like the anchor for everything that Google sees about you. So, you know, having that filled out is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And verified.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The next thing I wanted to mention is networking. It's really good for local business. You're just getting out there and getting in front of people, meeting people, saying hi. You know, if you're a really small business, BNI is a really great one because you don't have to know how to network. You just show up and they've got a very specific agenda and you get to meet people and you get to practice and learn how to network. And there's another one out there that's a little like a step up from BNI, which is called ProVisors. I've heard a lot of great stuff about that one as well. The next one that we focus on a lot is creating content. And that is both in written word and in video, like these video casts. And I feel like over the last 3 years, since Danielle's been working with Smack Happy, the results that we've been getting on the Google search and, you know, the types of leads that we're getting have just gone up in quality a lot. And I attribute that to all of the content that we've been creating. And, you know, it's about the work that we do, but also about all of the stuff that kind of goes around what we do. And the goal is just to try to educate people and try to help people. And in doing that, I think we're starting to see the results from having that approach.
Yeah.
Did you want to add to that one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a lot of the stuff that we share isn't always things that we're like, oh, we really love this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you shared content about everything that you liked, you know, it might not resonate with your audience, but, and maybe that's a bad way of putting it, but it's more about like, I think a lot of the times we're sharing our best kept secrets. I mean, they're not secrets, but they're things that we have experience with that work for us and can easily be applied to anybody else's business. Like, you know, maybe there's like a 5% of businesses that wouldn't be able to, you know, use online tools or something like we can, but you know, that's a small percentage. So I think anybody who's coming to someone who's looking to do like a website redesign or, you know, social media or something online, they're already like convinced that that's what they need to be doing. So when we're sharing this information at this point, it's more like they've already identified, you know, what their problem is and what, you know, what they need to solve. And then there's different types of content too, like where it's for that, like it's for, hey, here's how we can help you and do this, or we already have clients that have signed up for something and we're trying to help them through this process of like figuring out how to give feedback, you know, through a design. Like, how can you really share exactly what it is that you want to put on your website and things like that? So, you know, it's just, there's a lot that goes into content, but it's really just about helping your customer. That's really what it is.
Yeah. And I think as long as you keep that focus in mind, creating stuff should come pretty easily to you, and you know, people will be looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next two items on the list, did you have something else to add?
No. Okay.
So the next two items on the list are, they're not things that give you immediate return for getting new clients. These are like kind of longer term building a connection, building a relationship with people. And these are our newsletter and our social media.
Mm-hmm.
And with the newsletter, I think we had talked about this in a previous video, you know, you can automate having your blog just go out to your newsletter like once a month or once a quarter. You can, you know, set the timing. So if you are creating the content, again, it's kind of easy to automate a newsletter. But we also send out a quarterly one where we're kind of, you know, rolling up everything that's happened over the last quarter. And when things pop up in our industry that are important for clients, we'll talk about that. And every now and then someone will reply to that newsletter and say, hey, actually, I need to do this thing. And we end up working with them. Or on the social media, you can speak more to this, but you know, just again, sharing the content that we're creating and just really staying in touch with our clients. And if you're gonna go that route, you have to keep it up and you have to be consistent. I'll hand it over to you to add on to those two items.
Yeah, I just, I guess my thoughts are more with sort of social media side of things, because I think once you have the content part down, the email newsletter stuff is sort of a 1-2 time setup, and then, you know, it just kind of goes by itself. Unless you have something specific that comes up, you know, a certain kind of campaign or whatever, but, with social media, like something that I like to mention that I think has been like this for a while, but people are more officially saying it now, about, you know, look to social media for quality, not quantity. And if you're really looking at social media metrics to like determine whether you're successful or not, unless you're doing like paid campaigns, they're really unreliable sort of metrics, because first you kind of have to determine where your audience actually is on social media and if you even have those people that have liked your page. Are they the people that you really are, you know, want to be talking to? Like, I mean, there's some things that go into it. I think having social media for one, people finding you, and two, just sharing the information that you have, you know, in the simplest form is really important anyway, just to have that. But I think some people put so much emphasis on, you know, social media metrics and like looking at like, you know, what happens every month, which is important. It is important, you know, you see what's going on, but to say whether you're doing well or not doing well based on social media, unless you're like only on social media, don't have a website and you're a social media business or whatever, that's another thing. But I think it's super easy to like be a brand, for example, like a consumer brand. You have a lot to share. You have a lot of photography. It is very social. People are looking to buy your things. You can connect your shop and stuff on there. So, you know, I guess it's kind of tricky to make a blanket statement like that, but a lot of the clients that we have, their main focus doesn't need to be on social media. You know, it just depends, I guess. Maybe that's what I should say. It depends. So, But if you're doing something with social media and you feel like giving up or stopping, or you're wasting a lot of time or something on it, you know, maybe there's something else you could be doing with it.
Which kind of goes back to measuring and making sure that you're putting your efforts into the right thing.
Yeah. And it's not just one metric, you know what I mean? That's what I mean. Like, you have to look at the whole overall scope of everything that you're doing. So, like, every kind of marketing effort that you have going on is going to have some kind of different number metric to it. And you define your success.
Yeah.
So, you know, goals, setting goals and SMART goals and things like that will definitely have an impact on that too.
Yeah. And then before we wrap up, I just remembered one more thing that people often forget about, which is just flat out asking for referrals from past clients or friends, or like when you're wrapping up a project. You know, it seems obvious that, hey, I should be referring you, but people just don't think about it. And when you ask, if they had a great experience with you, then they'll be happy to recommend you to somebody else. But they're not going to think of it on their own, so you have to ask. So to kind of wrap up and reiterate, what we focus on here at Smack Happy are testimonials, networking, creating content, our newsletter, social media, and just flat out asking for referrals. If you enjoyed this little video and you have some questions about your online marketing or how you work with your online business, please send them our way and we'd be happy to tackle them.
Oh, show.
Yeah.
I guess until next time.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.